where we find joy, sometimes even in challenging or difficult situations, or sometimes just knowing where we turn in order to get joy. And so with that in mind, I also wanted to spend maybe the next couple of weeks looking forward to VBS, talking about this idea of joy, and sometimes things that take away our joy. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today, maybe how we can maybe reset. And sometimes the older things are, the more difficult they are to reset. Sometimes when you're an older person, sometimes we've got into habits and we've got into the way we process things and the way we act and react. And sometimes it's almost like autopilot after a while. But sometimes we need like a reset or a restart in order that maybe we'd be able to think a little bit differently. And that's what I want to talk about today. And so it has to do with the voice. Okay, so this is not really to do with a television show, which is about the voice. But even if I don't really watch the show, I've seen it a couple times, probably not in its entirety or anything like that. But basically, it's just some judges that are listening to people sing without even seeing them, but being able just to listen to their voice, listening to what they're singing, how they sing it, maybe the tone of their voice. Somehow, if this voice, if there's a voice that can make an impact on people, then it's something that they think, here's something that's valuable. This is something that needs to be heard. This is something that needs to be shared. This is something that could even be life-changing. And so that's the idea of at least the television show of the voice. But we have to realize that we listen to voices a lot, don't we? I mean, you listen maybe to what people say to you, or maybe what they say about you. Or maybe you've got a lot of memories of things that have happened, and they may not even be in your consciousness. But deep down inside, sometimes we are controlled by something maybe a teacher said, or a parent said, or a friend said when we were very little. And that still has a hold on our life. That voice still influences us, and sometimes even controls us. So there's a voice. Sometimes we listen to voices when we listen to the media, the television, maybe even when you're listening to your favorite music. I mean, think about that. If you listen to that same song over, and you know what song I'm talking about, the one that you listen to over, and you know, the one that was your favorite one, even maybe when you were a teenager, your early 20s, when you first got married. And sometimes, we've talked about this before, how music has an impact on us. But if you listen to the song over and over, you want to know something? That's sending a voice. And it's not just something that you may enjoy, like I enjoy the melody or I really enjoy the words. But that is doing something to your mind. It's framing your mind. It's kind of telling a story in your mind. And it's gonna make an impact in your life. So we've got the voices of what others say. We've got voices of the past. But maybe here's even a bigger question. What is your voice telling you? You know, who do you listen to? What do you listen to when that voice from inside, when that voice speaks about who you are, how valuable you are, how strong you are, how spiritual you are? You have a voice. Well, I'm not very smart. A little overweight. I'm getting old. I'm not very healthy. Don't have as many friends as I used to have. I'm not as popular as I thought I would be. Thought I would have more money. Thought life would change, things would be different. I've got an addiction. I've got a lot of failures and disappointments and breakups and heartaches in my life. This is defining my life. This is what I think about. This is the voice I keep telling myself over and over and over again, and it controls me. So the Bible speaks to this about what voice you hear, and it's maybe not so much about you listening to your own voice, but maybe it's time to start writing a new script of maybe speaking to yourself instead of always listening to yourself. I know it sounds a little weird. But this is what the psalmist does, and quite often it's David that speaks this way. Kind of just saying, hey, there's something going on. So Psalm 103. He's talking to himself. It was one thing for me to say, hey, this is what you guys need to do, or this is what we should do. He's just talking to himself, and you're listening in on his own private, personal conversation with himself. And so he's talking to his soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. Now again, that's not new. Familiar with maybe Psalm chapter 42, Psalm chapter 43, both of them in verse 5, where he even asked the question. See, his soul was really discouraged and disheartened. It was kind of falling apart. Things weren't going as he had hoped they would go. And he's really discouraged and disappointed. He says, see, his soul, I think, had been talking to him so much. And he says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why is there so much turmoil within? Really? Did you ever talk to yourself like that? You know, when you have a lot of negativity in your life, you ask yourself the question. So instead of just listening to what your soul is telling you all the time and playing the same recordings over and over again, why are you thinking that way? I'm not asking you the question. I want you to ask yourself that question on a regular basis. What's going on in my soul? But this is what he's doing here in Psalm 103. Listen, my soul, I've got some information for you. I want to remind you of some things. Praise the Lord, my soul. He goes on to say this. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. So again, he's just talking to himself. Now what's he doing now? He's reminding himself about God. He's not preaching a lesson. He's not talking to a friend. He's talking to himself. He's saying, I'm going to praise the Lord, my soul. What do I need to do then? I need to be reminded of what God has done and what he's continuing to do and what he's promised he will do in the future. I just need to be reminded again of God. This is the whole chapter. We're not going to go through the whole chapter. You can read it on your own sometime about the things that he confessed to his soul. And sometimes you're reading, go, well, I think maybe he's talking to God. Well, last time I checked, God already knew who he was. God hadn't forgotten what he had done. But sometimes we forget. And so he's just telling himself over and over again, remember God. Have faith in God. Trust in God. Follow God. And this is a big thing. Instead of relying on what other people say about you, you can rely on what God says about you. Craig Fulton, a young man. Woo! But, I don't know, what would Greg have said if I said, hey, old guy, old fella? Right? Oh, it's not, that doesn't quite have that ring. Right? So, you know, even when we encourage other people, right, we can think about, well, how can we say something that would pull them up, bring them up? So when Craig goes away, he thinks, yeah, I kind of am a young guy. You know, I got a little more vigor. I got a little more health. I got a better outlook on life, you know? As opposed to saying, listen, I just want to tell you something about yourself. You're old, and you're dumb, and you're ugly, and you're no good. Thanks for coming to worship. Go home and be blessed. Is that not helping? And I don't know if it's sometimes the older you get, but sometimes we can always look at the negative things, can't we? Well, that's a bad idea. Well, that was a silly thing to say. You know, you shouldn't have done that. You believe what? That's completely wrong. You know, there's even ways when people aren't doing as much as they should to try to encourage them to do better, but usually it's not by tearing them down, but it's building them up. And that kind of came up in the Bible class this morning. They were talking about when Paul was in Athens, and he could have torn them down about everything that they'd done, but he kind of started by building them up. Boy, I see you guys are pretty committed about worshiping. I mean, this is serious business you got going on. I mean, you've created all these idols. I've never seen anything like it before. But can I share something with you about the unknown idol that you had made? So he doesn't tear them down. He builds them up and builds them up. But you see, sometimes when we get older, we tear people down. And you wonder, I wonder, why would somebody do that? And it's probably because the things I've been saying to myself are the things I've been saying to you. I tear myself down. I feel like, well, I'm unworthy, and I'm no good, and I've not done enough, and I'm not the friend or the husband or the father or the member or the minister that I could be, or should be, I ought to be. Right? So I'm hard on myself, and I'm hard on you. So what he's saying is, how can we look at ourselves and say, sometimes people need to be a little harder on themselves than they are. Let's just put it that way. But sometimes we're too hard on ourselves, aren't we? I don't even know if God could even forgive me after I did that again. And if it's so hard for us to receive God's forgiveness, it's going to be pretty hard for me to forgive you. That's kind of why Jesus says this. Forgive one another as you've been forgiven. And if you don't believe or you don't think you've been forgiven, I doubt you're going to find it easy to forgive anybody else. But if we can say, I've been forgiven so much, I can forgive others. But what is this thing that we do to ourselves, we say to ourselves, the story we write about ourselves? The next part of this chapter says, it's God. He's the one who redeems your life. Again, he's just talking to himself. He's talking to his soul. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Boy, if we kept saying that over and over again to ourselves about who God is and what he has done for me. The difference, the change he has made in my life. So that when I come upon a challenge, a difficulty, a person, a situation, a temptation, or a trial, how would I respond? Oh, I can respond like the world. I can respond like my human nature, or I can respond like I remember my parents responding. But why don't I respond the way God would have me to respond? How would that happen? Well, evidently I've got to spend a lot more time with God than with my iTunes or my Netflix or even that friend down the street. Friends are okay to have. iTunes are okay to listen to. Netflix, no comment. Just kidding. There's good stuff on Netflix. So just saying, though, what are we putting into our mind? What are we living off of? Where do we find our help and our strength? Where do we even find our health? He's saying our youth, our strength, our vigor, our purpose in life is like that of a youth. It's renewed again because of the power of God. So Paul says this to Timothy, because Timothy is struggling. He's struggling with fear and doubt. He's supposed to be preaching at the church in Ephesus. And boy, he's got some personal... the church has got plenty of troubles. But he's got personal struggles and issues that he has to overcome. So Paul says this to Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," and this is the New King James, "but a power and of love and a sound mind." So kind of focusing on what God is doing, how God is equipping us. So he's giving us this power of love and a sound mind. So we need power of love. We not understand that. We got to love more. We love because God loved us. He's going to empower us to love other people. But you also realize in this verse, it says God's going to give us the power of a sound mind, a better way of thinking. We can make better decisions. We can maybe have a little more balance. The power of a sound mind. That's what we need, a sound mind. Something that understands reality. And so reality is not found in just running after all the things of this world and what the people of the world run after. But a sound mind is saying, what is really true? What is really important? What gives me my value? And if it's the things of the world, you're going to lose it, aren't you? You can lose your money. You can lose your job. You can lose a family member. You can lose your health. You can lose a lot of things that you put your own personal value in. But if our value is in God, saying, I am valuable because God made me and God loves me, God has redeemed me, now I can have a sound mind. It's a whole new way of processing, a whole new way of believing, a whole new way of thinking and of living, a sound mind. Well, what would this look like? Well, there was an event in Jesus' life in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. And it was a man that had many demons in his life. And the demons kind of just took over. Took over the way he acted, the way he responded, the way he interacted with other people. So he's lost all of his relationships. He's living among the tombs. Sometimes this demon is trying to even hurt him physically. He's destroying his whole life. Everything he's ever wanted has been taken away because he has demons, not just one, many demons living inside of him. And Jesus comes and he casts the demon out. And when the people from the city came back, what did they find? So again, the verse here says that they found him sitting at Jesus' feet. He was dressed before. He didn't even keep his clothes. I just tore his clothes off. But he was in his right mind. Now you may say, well, I've never been demon possessed. You may have one or two people in your life that may question that, but never been demon possessed. But sometimes the evil of the world has gotten a hold of your life, gotten control of your life, even through, I mean, this man who was demon possessed, a lot of his struggles came out in the way he thought, because the way he acted and reacted. But now he's in his right mind. That's what we need to be, is in our right mind. In other words, this man who was demon possessed could see things clearer than anyone else around him. Because you remember all the people from the village, they came and saw what Jesus did. And I don't know how you'd respond. You'd be like, this is amazing. This has got to be done through the power of God. Could this be the Messiah? Well, let's invite him over to the house and find out. Because if this is the Messiah, I want some of that. But when you're not in your right mind, you wouldn't say that. You're not in your right mind. You say, boy, we've lost a lot of produce, pork bellies on the stock market. We've lost so much today. So instead of welcoming Jesus, they say, go away. We don't want you around here anymore. You've created such a mess for us. We don't want to deal with you. Let us live the way we want to live. Go back to breeding more pigs. Really? You choose pigs over Jesus? It doesn't sound like they're in their right mind. But the man, the demon was cast out in his right mind. See, he had a new way of thinking. Since he had a new way of thinking, he had a new way of acting. A new way of acting would lead to a new way of living. A new way of living, being in the presence of Jesus, would bring a new way of salvation. So, a transformation is what he needed. Sitting at Jesus' feet, that's a good place to start. You want to be in a right mind? You want a new way of reframing and rewriting the script of your life? Sit at Jesus' feet. Listen to what he has to say. And this is the thing. Believe what he says. And sometimes when I read the Bible, I'm reading to say, what does Jesus want me to do? There's nothing wrong with reading the Bible and saying, what does Jesus want me to do? But maybe before you get to that point, maybe you could ask the question, who does Jesus say that I am? I am holy. I am loved. I am redeemed. I am valuable. I'm a son of God. I'm saved. Jesus died for me. I'm an heir of salvation. Who am I in Christ? If I can figure out who I am, it's going to go a long way in the way I'm going to live. It's just, I think it's going to make doing what Jesus asks us to do a whole lot easier. Instead of just following the rules to say, I am born again, brand new, new beginning, new start of everything. But maybe more than anything is a new start in the way I think. The change that God has made in my life. So, you may know somebody like this, is what I'm trying to say. You know, the eye roll. Yeah, right. Or, what do people say when, whatever. Or, you know, that one's talk to the hand. Do we do this anymore? Okay. This maybe shows my age. It's like, they did it like 3 years ago. All right. So, what this means is, whatever. And this is a lot of times people's reaction, like, whatever, who cares, it's not a big deal. You believe what you believe, I'll be what I believe. You know, you can be who you want to be, I'll be who I want to be. You know, it's all irrelevant. Just choose. There's no right or wrong. And some people approach life this way. Like, everything is just like, whatever. No big deal. There's no value. There's no importance. There's no truth. It's just like, whatever. That's people, maybe sometimes when they're not in their right mind, or maybe they just don't want to think. But actually, the idea, this concept of whatever, is not the whatever. It's more of a, it looks maybe more like this. It looks like, finally, brothers, whatever is true. Whatever, just whatever is true. I mean, you may have to search and dig and ask and inquire and find what is true, but whatever is true, that's what we're looking for. Because if I can find out what's true, again, it's true not just out there, not just what's true for you, but I can really believe what God has said is true. And what God says about me is true. And his purpose for my life, I can know what is true. But if I can find out what's true, that can change my life. Whatever is noble, you know, those things that are really worth doing, that are valuable, that are helpful, that express that I have a commitment and a devotion to following God. Whatever is right and whatever is pure. I'm searching and I'm thinking and I'm contemplating. Whatever is lovely and whatever is admirable. And if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. So what does he say? Think. Like, he didn't say do these things. Certainly that's going to follow. Could you just think about these things? But you see, if I'm thinking about these things, that means I have to make some choices about some other things that I used to think about. I can't think about that anymore. Some of those lists, some of those songs, some of those books, some of those movies, maybe even some of those friends that have been playing some bad stuff in your mind. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. It's not helping me. It's not building me up. It's not making me into the image of God. It's tearing me down. It's discouraging me. It's destroying my life. That's why I'm saying, think about these things. Think about them. And if we think about them, it makes a difference in our life. He goes on to say this in the next section, verse 8. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So if you're, again, familiar with Philippians 4, the two things that he really emphasizes as far as the outcome is joy. That's kind of where we're going to end up with the joy story. What's this joy story we're working on? Joy and peace. I think it would be pretty hard for you to find somebody anywhere that would say, I really do not want any more joy, and I don't want any more peace. Just way too much. Right? No, people are like, yeah, I need more of that. Where does that come from? Where does it come from? So it doesn't come from buying a new house, finding a new friend, reading another book, taking a vacation, getting a new job. That's not where this joy and this peace is coming from, because it's not external. It comes from the inside. It works its way out. What people want to do is say, give me the joy pill, I'll take it in, it'll be something external, and I'll see if I can work it into my life. This is opposite. It starts on the inside, works its way out. So this is what this joy is all about. Paul's saying, you've seen me live this way. You've seen how I've acted, how I've taught, how I've lived, even in the worst of conditions, even in the most difficult trials, severe temptations. But he succeeded. He's saying, I've even shown you by example how you should live. So how did Paul do it? Through a new mindset of saying, I'm going to dwell and think and believe in God. So Psalm 25, again, one more Psalm of David may help us with this to explain it again. Psalm 25, he's talking to God, and I think he's also talking to himself. And maybe, you know, as we think about this, you know, think about even when we pray. You know, you wonder sometimes, why do we pray? Are we trying to tell God something he doesn't already know? Like, God, just in case you missed it, I just thought I'd let you know that, you know, our sister is sick in the hospital. Or, you know, somebody's looking for a job. Or somebody's going through a loss. Or I'm personally struggling with something. But we're not praying to remind God. I'm not sure if we're always praying to change God's mind and say, oh, I wasn't going to do that, but now you bring it up. You got a good point. Think I'll just flip it around the other way. Maybe we pray to God so that we know that He knows that we know that we trust Him. See, we pray, and again, it's not just to help ourselves, but it's so... so we can say, God, I'm really giving this to you. This sickness, discouragement, temptation, struggle, even thanksgiving, I'm going to give it to you. So I don't have to keep carrying it around. Because that's a heavy burden. That can be too much. Just give it to Him. Let Him take care of it. And release yourself so you don't have to keep thinking about it. Instead, you can think about the good things. So here he's praying, show me your ways, Lord, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me. So look what he says here. Show me, teach me, guide me, teach me. And this is even Old Testament. For you are God, my Savior. You're going to bring salvation. I don't know if he was specifically here looking for physical salvation from an invading army. Or perhaps it was even from King Saul, if it was that early in his life. Or maybe struggles he had with his own family or in his own kingdom of Israel. Maybe he was looking for salvation from the temptation of sin that he still struggled with. I don't know what he was looking for regarding salvation, but perhaps it was even eternal salvation. You are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. That's the part. That's the part that's transforming. Because to hope in God is not something you do. Hoping in God is something you think and something you believe about God. Why do I hope in God? Because I know He's going to do what He promised to do. He's going to be with me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to guide me. He's going to lead me. My hope is in God. And the challenge of this is, it doesn't say my hope is in God when we meet together at church on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. And it's not even my hope is in God. You know, I wake up first thing in the morning and I say a prayer and my hope. No. My hope is in God when things are going so well and I've had a great victory and, you know, I've been blessed. That my hope isn't. No, it's not that either. When is it? All day. How can you have hope in God all day? That's the way you think. It's a change in the way you see life. The way you see God and the way you see yourself as God sees you. My hope is in God all day long. This is what God desires for us. Not so much that he can be happy, although as a father he'd be very happy if his children were trusting and hoping and loving and responding to him. But I think more than that, he wants us to find the joy and the peace that comes from this relationship that Paul so beautifully talks about in Philippians 4. If we can encourage you, help you, if today you want to make a decision to say, I want that. I want that relationship. I want to see myself the way God sees me. I want to be able to love myself the way God loves me. I want to be able to forgive myself the way God forgives me. I want to see value in my life just like God values me. And you can be a part of God's family, to be born again, to become a child of God, to receive the inheritance that God has, to have His wisdom and His strength and His protection and His love and His grace. You can have that in your life. And maybe there's somebody today saying, I'm ready for that commitment, to surrender it all to Him, to become a child of God. If today you want to be baptized into Christ, we can do that. If today you want to commit to learning more and growing, if today you want maybe encouragement and prayers from the church, whatever your need is, let's stand, we'll sing the song, and let us know how we can bless you today.